on this topic about dealing with the obstacles created by the ego.
You are on your way.
So, I talk about how, you know, when we get criticism, sometimes we need to see criticism with a critical eye. That means what? That there are times when we are wrong and we need to be corrected. But it also is possible that because different people have different frameworks, frames of looking at things, sometimes in this world, even something which is good may also be criticized as bad. This is actually a Subhashita. Subhashita is in the broad Indian tradition, there are good sayings. Prabhupada would quote many Bengali sayings. So this basically is talking about how a virtue is criticized. So, jadyam rimati ganyate ratarcho dambha shuchayo kaitavam shure nigrahata munav vimatita dainyam priyalapin tejasvinya avaliptata mukharta vaktarya ashakti sthire tatko nam guno bhavet sa gunina yo durjanair namikitaha. So the conclusion is, which virtue is there? Tatko nam guno bhavet. Which virtue is there that has not been criticized by the critics? So every virtue is also criticized. So jadyam rimati. So if somebody is very gentle and very soft spoken, say, you are so passive, you are jada, you don't do anything at all. Somebody is silent, calm, tolerant, gentle. Jadyam rimati. So rimati is a good quality, gentleness, but jadyam is negative. So when Shukadeva Goswami was wandering along, at that time the common people did not know how lordly he was. And the common people were throwing stones at him, mocking him. So only when he entered the assembly and all the sages started bowing down to him, they realized, oh, he's a great person. So if you are gentle, people will say, no, you are not asserting, don't speak out. Why are you so passive? Ganyate ratarachau dambha shuchau kaitavam. So, ganyate means this is how people are assessed. So, if somebody, very strictly follows vows, then people call him dambha. You are a show-off. You do something very strictly. No. So, in the Bhagavatam, again, there's the example of how the Avanti Brahmana, he took a mauna vrata. Initially, he was materialistic, then he renounced, and he took a mauna vrata. And when he did that, what happened? People started criticizing him. Oh, he was so attached. How can he be so renounced? He's simply making a show. So if you start following any principle strictly, people will say that you're just doing it for the sake of show. Dambha. Shuchau kaitavam. If somebody is clean, somebody is honest, shuchi. And kaitavam. People will say, oh, you are again. Internally, you are all corrupt. But externally, you're just making a show of your honesty. Kaitavam. You are... Actually, you're just being hypocritical. You're posing as a good person. Shure nirgrahata. If somebody is very heroic, you say, you're so merciless. You're so cruel. So we see in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna killed Kamsa, Jarasandha and other allies of Kamsa, they said, oh, how heartless this Krishna is. He killed his own maternal uncle. Doesn't he have any love for his relatives? They conveniently overlooked the reality that this so-called maternal uncle had tried to kill his own sister, had killed six of his nephews, and had tried to kill Krishna also. So they did not see Krishna's enormous valor in a small child killing Kamsa. They saw that he is so heartless. Nirgrahanata. Chure nirgranata munau vimatita. So some people are so rimati means gentle in terms of overall conduct. Munau is actually a variant of maunau. But those who stay silent, they are said vimatita. You don't have any opinions only. You are actually not at all intelligent. So why are you keeping silent? because you have no intelligence to have any opinions. So this is how, this is what happened with with Jada Bharat. When Maharaj Rohan was speaking so many things and Jada Bharat was silent, so they said, "You are, he's just a dumb person." So Danyam Priya Lapini, and if somebody is very humble, somebody always speaks in a very humble disposition, there's people will say that you are always trying to, you are a bootlicker. You are trying to curry favor with people who are influential. So whichever way you look at it, Tejasvinya Avalektata. If somebody is Tejasvinya, somebody is charismatic, somebody is powerful, then say Avalektata, you know, actually, you have no sense of modesty. Just put out a big show in everything that you do. So similarly, Mukharata Bhaktarya. If somebody speaks nicely, they say, you are over-talkative. So that's what Indra told about Krishna. This over-talkative boy. He has affected the Vrajavasis. Ashakti hi sthire. If somebody is very steady in doing some service, people say, no, actually, he doesn't have any capacity to do anything else. That's why he's doing this.
So, instead of appreciating he's doing this service for so many years, they say that, I can't do anything, so I'm doing this. So, Ashakti sthire.
In this way, tatko naam guno bhave sagunina yo durjalai naankita. So, what virtue is there that the critics have not criticized the virtues for having? So, in general, it is very easy to get discouraged by criticism. And actually, and in one sense, we talk about temptation as that which, say, like lust, anger, greed, these are temptations. And they take us away from Krishna by promising us pleasure elsewhere. But if you generalize the understanding of temptation, temptation is anything that takes us away from Krishna. So, discouragement can also be a temptation. Because discouragement stops us from going towards Krishna. So then that means, now what do I mean by it is a temptation? Just like if I go to some place, if I get and see certain things, if I feel lusty, if I feel greedy, then I know I should avoid going to that place. Because that provokes me. Similarly, if we know that there are some people who, by associating with them, they are going to discourage me. They're going to speak comments which will hurt my morale, which will dishearten me. Then we need to avoid them. Because anything that keeps us away from Krishna, that can be considered to be a temptation. And to feel discouraged can also be a temptation. So we need to avoid this temptation by avoiding discouraging people. Srila Prabhupada himself was discouraged so much by his godbrothers, by everyone else, when he was trying to preach all over the world. Or he was just trying to start his preaching in India and eventually all over the world. People said that you will not be able to do it. But Prabhupada did not pay attention to that. So, if by Krishna's mercy we have some good quality, some skill, some inspiration, do some service, then no, it is our responsibility to develop that and serve Krishna. Sometimes some people will appreciate that, some people will not appreciate that. So, we have to find out those people who appreciate that and continue the service. Even before I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, I wanted to be a writer. So, I used to write essays in my school and I used to get good marks. But somehow, apart from that, I would not get much ideas to write. So, then I started getting introduced to Krishna consciousness and I got a lot of ideas to write. I started writing. So, at one particular time, I started writing for Back to Godhead. Some articles were published in Back to Godhead also. Then, in India, the biggest newspaper is The Times of India. It is in fact the world's biggest newspaper in English, because India itself has a large English population. So they have a spiritual column called the Speaking Tree. It's literally read by millions of people. So I used to read this column since my childhood because I had some spiritual interest. And then when I started writing, I thought I'll try to write for this column. And then I sent 3-4 articles. And then one day I was looking at the Times of India, and the editor, she didn't even inform me that your article is selected. I just looked once in the paper and I found my article was there. I was so happy. I felt like at that time, not many devotees were writing. And as far as I know, that was the first article by any ISKCON devotee in that column. So I was staying in a Brahmacharya ashram at that time, and then I went and told the other devotees, my article got published in Speaking Tree. So devotees just looked at me and said, how can a tree speak?
They had not even heard about a speaking tree. I was so excited. They just couldn't appreciate what is that to be so excited about. So I was excited and I got completely deflated by it.
So for them, writing was not a service, because many times devotee culture, especially the Brahmacharya ashram culture, is very insular culture. So many devotees don't read newspapers. At least at that time they wouldn't read newspapers, and they wouldn't know the reach of the newspapers. So I don't blame them, but I just was completely deflated at that time. And then, by Krishna's arrangement, after three, four weeks later, Jai Advaita Maharaj visited there in Pune. I was in Pune at that time. Now I'm in Mumbai. So then, after a class, I said, Maharaj, can I meet you for some time? I knew that Maharaj used to conduct courses on editing, and he was the editor of Backward also. So I told Maharaj I'm writing, and I had made a small booklet compiled of all my articles that had been published in newspapers. Some local papers already had started writing. This was my first writing in the national paper. So then when I showed it, Maharaj was so happy. Each article he was going through it, he gave some constructive feedback also. He says, very good, you're writing this. Just keep writing this. He's so pleased, so encouraging, so appreciative. And then I asked Maharaj, can I improve my writing in any way? Are there any books you can suggest? Then he immediately took a printout and gave me several books. At that time there was no Amazon or anything like that. So I said, Maharaj, none of these books are available in India. He says, but you can get them from America. And then, after a couple of months, some of my godbrothers who had gone to America for preaching, they came to Chowpatty, and then somebody called me from Chowpatty. They said that, actually, Jai Advaita Maharaj has sent some books for you. So, he had gone from Pune to America. He remembered that. He purchased almost a dozen books, and he had sent that books to different devotees, 3-4 devotees. So, I was so touched by that. He's a sannyasi guru. At that time, I was just maybe 5-6 years in the movement as a young brahmachari. And he went to so much trouble to get some books for me just to help me improve my writing service. So then I wrote a mail appreciating, thanking him for it. And then he wrote a very encouraging mail. So he told me that others can manage, others can counsel, but others can't write. You should write. So since that time, I consider Jai Advaita Maharaj like my writing guru. So, associating with him, and through him I got introduced to a whole community of writers. Now, of course, many devotees are writing in India also, but at that time, very few devotees were writing. So, I felt that if I had not met him and if he had not encouraged me, I would not have taken up writing as a service. So, we all need... Now, I don't blame the devotees who just didn't understand what I was doing. But it is my responsibility, if I am inspired to do some service, to find out the circle where I'll be nourished. To find out the association which will nourish me. If I just say, hey, devotees don't care for me. Devotees don't care for this. Then it doesn't work. So even in bhakti, different devotees have different definitions of success. Different definitions of success within bhakti. So, for example, when I was writing an article, so some devotee asked me, okay, by reading your article, how many people have become devotees? Well, for a writer, that is not the definition that can be applied. So what happens is, for them, that is the definition. Okay, how many devotees did you make? So different devotees have their own definitions of success. And they evaluate everything based on that definition. And if our inspiration, our service doesn't fit into their definition, they will make our service seem to be worthless. But it is not actually worthless. Krishna values that service, and for Krishna's movement, actually, we need different kinds of services. So in the early days of our movement, basically, it was, there are three definitions of success. How many books are distributed, how many temples are built, and how many devotees are made. Now these are important definitions of success, but they are not the only definitions. So, as different devotees get inspired in different ways, then there can be so many other services. If we have devotees and our devotee children, how many of the second of the generation born in this ISKCON is continuing to practice bhakti? Now that may not come out anywhere in the headlines, but that's a very important definition of success for a movement that wants to be sustainable. So taking care of our own children, that's an important service. Similarly, those who have become devotees, how many are continuing to be devotees? That is also, taking care of devotees is also an important service. So there can be many different definitions of success in bhakti. And so when we talk about like-minded association, the like-minded can be a very general term. But in a more specific sense, like-minded means that association which has the same definition of success that we have. So, if you know any service, if we get into it, it requires a lot of time, a lot of energy. So, and others who are not in that service, they feel that, you know, what are you doing? But actually, those who do that service, they know how much hard work is involved in that. So, we need to find those devotees who actually appreciate that service, and then we can connect with them nicely. So if I am inspired to do a particular service, now it is my responsibility to find out like-minded association. If I'm not going to take that responsibility to find like-minded association, then better do a service which can connect us with the community which we are in. Because we need always we are social creatures. So Prabhupada also created a society. So we need to change our definition of success, or we need to associate with those who have the same definition of success that we have. And that way we will not be discouraged. Otherwise, whatever we do, even valuable services that we are doing. But if people have a different frame of looking at it, they will not appreciate that service at all. And especially as our movement expands, it takes roots, it becomes a sustainable movement, there are many small services, not small in a, they are very significant services, but small in the sense that they may not be very visible in the society's eye, but they are important. And then, if we are to do the service in a quality way, we need some other devotees who also appreciate that service. So, if we can find... I said discouragement can be a temptation. And that the extension of that is associating with those who do not value our definition of success. That is a way we are setting ourselves up for succumbing to the temptation of discouragement. It's like if somebody goes into a sexually provocative situation, then, you know, well, you're going to fall over there. Why did you go over there? You went over there in a provocative situation, you'll fall. So like that, if we go in association and we open our heart there, where they're not going to appreciate what we are doing, then we are setting ourselves up for discouragement. We have to find out those who will appreciate that service. And then, so if somebody is studying Shastra, Shastric study is actually, it requires a lot of time, energy. But then those who are, say, into fundraising or temple building or book distribution, they are also very important services. But Shastric study is also an important service. So somebody is book distribution, into book distribution, they say, we are spending so many hours studying scripture. But what are you doing practically? So many conditions hold out there. You benefit them. And yet, then if the devotee wants to study scripture, the devotee will always feel insecure. Should I be doing this or should I not be doing this? So, as we keep practicing bhakti, we start slowly realizing, okay, this is my strength, this is my inspiration, this is my gift. And then, we need to nourish that gift. So, what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. Now, what we are, we have certain abilities, we have certain talents. And that is, Krishna has made us that way. What we are is God's gift to us. And whatever talents we have, we develop that, we grow, and then we make our offering to Krishna, our contribution to Krishna. So what we become is our gift to God. So how do we become discouraged when I said that we associate with those whose definition of success is different from ours? It is two ways that there is discouragement. First is that, you know, what we can do, we feel disheartened. Is this really worthwhile? Should I be doing this or not? And second is, you know, their definition of success, whatever it is, we may not have the inspiration, we may not have the ability, we may not be gifted enough to do that. And we try to do that, and we can't do that, and we become discouraged that way also. So we don't do what we can do, and we can't do what we can't do. So both ways, we end up discouraged. And we need to know that, you know, Krishna wants us the way we are. Naturally, we want to become better. But if Krishna had wanted us to be someone else, he would have made someone else. Krishna has made me me. Krishna has made you you. So he wants me and you to offer service to him. Of course, he wants you and me to be the best you and me. But it's not that you have to become me or me has to, I have to become you. So, this way, even when we are in the association of devotees, we can avoid getting discouraged. If we just recognize this point that different devotees will have different definitions of success. And we have to either change our definition of success if we want to associate with particular devotees and we want their appreciation, their association, then we may have to work in their according to their definition of success. But if we are inspired to do something for Krishna, then we recognize, okay, this devotee is not doing this service, and they may never appreciate what I'm doing. But then I'll find some other devotees who appreciate what I'm doing, and that way we can move onwards in our service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is my body. Now when we say the body, Srila Prabhupada also taught us that actually we are not our bodies. What that means is, now when we say we are not our body, the body is vital for us. If the body falls sick, we can't do anything. So the body is essential for us, but sometimes the body hurts us. So within the in this international society, sometimes we may be hurt. But we have to find out that association where we can get inspiration. And therein we move onwards. If I find that, okay, you know, if I use this hand causes me a lot of pain, then I might use that hand less and I may use the other hand more. So if I have a body that pains a little bit, it's not that I reject the body. What I do is, I use that part of the body which is healthy. So like that, within the body of the Krishna consciousness movement, there may be some devotees or some situations, some atmospheres which may hurt us. But recognize that this is Srila Prabhupada's benediction to us. And we find out that association wherein we can serve Krishna. The last point. So I'd like to conclude with this talk with three metaphors about understanding the institution and how to work in an institution. Nowadays there is a lot of criticism about institutionalized religion. People feel that whenever religions are institutionalized, then they lose their spirit, they become corrupt, they become power hungry. And there is a whole group of people especially in America, they call themselves as SBNR. SBNR is spiritual but not religious. So they say, I'm spiritual, but I don't belong to any religion. So they're primarily, they feel religious. Religion means it is an institutionalized structure, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. So we have to understand ultimately what is the institution. Say, imagine there is a small drop of water which falls in on a mountain. And that drop of water has to go to the ocean. For the drop of the water in itself to reach the ocean, it is very difficult. It will get evaporated along the way. But if many drops come together, that becomes a trickle. If many trickles come together, that becomes a tributary. If many tributaries come together, that becomes a river. And when the drop is in the river, the drop can move by the momentum of the river towards the ocean. So like that, all of us have some spiritual urge, some spiritual inspiration. But our spiritual inspiration is like a drop. Now for us to sustain our bhakti lifelong alone and attain Krishna, just like Kunti Maharaj says, let my consciousness always flow towards you. Just as the Ganga flows towards the ocean. So for our consciousness alone to flow towards Krishna, it's like expecting a small drop to flow towards Krishna. It's very difficult. So now, when many devotees come together, it is like many drops are coming together, and that creates a current. And that current propels the whole, all the water drops that are there forwards. So like that, in the association of devotees, when we come together, sometimes we feel spiritually inspired, sometimes we feel not so inspired. So we are pushed along still by the association of devotees. So sometimes it happens that when the river is flowing along on and on and on, first the river has to create its own way. The river starts off. And as it keeps flowing, it creates a bed. And then flowing becomes easier for the river. So the river bed is like the institution. The river is the spiritual urge, is the bhakti. So when a number of devotees come together and they want to practice bhakti, they create some facilities for themselves. And those facilities, they are essentially what the institutions. Now, the riverbed and the river are two different things. The riverbed is meant to help the river water to flow. Similarly, the institution is meant to help us move towards Krishna. In fact, the whole purpose of the institution is to provide us facility to help us move towards Krishna. But just as whenever there is a lot of water that is flowing, at that time there is a big river, then there are some people who come and they want to set a dam over there. They are not interested in going to the ocean at all. They are interested simply in taking the water. So like that, sometimes whenever the institution becomes big, becomes powerful, sometimes some people with ulterior motives come up, or sometimes some people who had sincere motives are initially, they get attracted by the power and the position, and their motives also change sometimes, whichever way it works out. So now the riverbed is a facility to move towards the ocean. But in some cases that riverbed may get blocked. So now if there is what Kuntima says, how does the river move towards the ocean? Sometimes above obstacle, sometimes below obstacle, sometimes around an obstacle. And sometimes it just erodes the obstacle and moves on. So like that, for us, if we keep the purpose clear for us, I have come to the Krishna consciousness movement for moving towards Krishna. And if I consider, yes, I have some spiritual urge, I have some spiritual inspiration. But if I am alone to practice bhakti, it's not very easy to practice bhakti. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the association of devotees is like a walking stick for me. Now, before I used crutches and I was a little more healthier, I used to use a walking stick. Before that, I used to walk without a walking stick also. So, initially, when I first read this idea, read this thing about walking stick, you know, association we think is so great. What is this comparing association to walking stick? I felt it's a demeaning metaphor, I thought. But then, once I was going from Pune to Mumbai, and somebody stole my walking stick. Then I just got out of the station and walking along. And then it struck me, even without the walking stick I can walk. but my walking becomes slower and becomes unsteadier. Any moment there is a fear I can fall. Same way, you know, without the association of devotees, also we may be able to practice bhakti. But it becomes slower. Everything becomes slower. And then it's unsteadier. Anytime there's no association of devotees, we may fall away. Association of devotees reminds us, hey, come back on track. It inspires us. If you're chanting all alone, you know, your mind just wanders here and there. And one round sometimes like 10-15 minutes. You're associating with devotees. Hey, what are you doing? Come on, chant now. So in different ways, the association of devotees enables us to use the facility to move towards Krishna. So if we find, if a river that is flowing somewhere, it finds it, okay, here the dam is there. So what does the river do? It tries to find some other way to move onwards. So like that, if we understand that, the institution is like a bed for the flow of bhakti. Sometimes the institution may have problems. So then I find how I can move onwards towards Krishna. It's not that by joining an institution, my responsibility for my spiritual advancement has ended. It is not because I joined an institution, now my spiritual advancement is the institution's responsibility. The institution has to provide me everything and I will advance. No, it still remains my responsibility. So for that, the other two examples. A stock exchange is a place where people come to earn money. There are people who have money, there are people who want to earn money. And if a person is wise, that person can invest in a way in which they can earn money and their money can grow. But if they are not careful, if they are unwise, then they can lose money also. So like that, all of us have a certain stock of bhakti with us right now. And we come to the Krishna consciousness movement where we want to increase the stock of our bhakti. But while we are here, if we associate with those who are just critical of devotees, those who are offensive devotees, those who... Now, why they are critical or offensive, that's a different question. They may have been hurt and then genuine issues. But if that becomes their default disposition, then what happens? When we come in the association also, we also become critical. And then we can't practice bhakti. So our bhakti stock can go down if we are associating with very critical devotees all the time. If I remember, okay, I got a certain level of bhakti and in association, my bhakti can increase. But it is my responsibility. It is not the stock exchange responsibility that my stock should increase. It is my responsibility. The same way, if we keep it in mind that in Krishna's movement also, it is my responsibility to ensure that my bhakti grows. Then we can move onward steadily, whatever happens. And last example is what I discussed yesterday also. It's like a hospital. We all come here to be cured, and we have to do that which will help us to become cured. But sometimes we may associate with some people who have some other infection and we get infected by that. So we have to keep the purpose in mind. So ye tha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva vajamyaham. Right. And now in India, where I was introduced to bhakti, it was a very protected environment. And at that time there was no internet also. So I had a very rosy conception of ISKCON. And then, over a period of time, as I started preaching, then people started asking questions. And then somebody started sending, okay, did you read this link? Did you read this? How do you answer this? And then over a period of time, I started getting exposed to so many things. And I realized that I cannot just dismiss all this as false. Much of it is true also. So many terrible things have happened. And I started feeling, why did anyone tell me about this? This has also happened here. This has also happened here. Like, this also happened. I started feeling, did I really join an institute like this? What am I doing over here? But then, as I continued thinking about this, I realized that, okay, there's so many things that have happened in so many places. But then I just studied a little bit about other religions. I found that every religion, after the founder departs, there is chaos for some time. There's Jesus, Christianity, or there's Islam, even Gaudiya Vaishnavism, even Gaudiya Math. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed, Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur departed. So it's not exceptional what happened over here. And ultimately, okay, I was in a protected environment. But was that protected environment
a manipulative?
No. No, there I could see that I had grown in my bhakti. So, one senior devotee told me this example that just as Krishna is a Kalpataru, ISKCON is also a Kalpataru. If you come here for gaining power, you'll get power over here. You come here for getting honor. Now, which other institute, you come inside, come there and people start bowing down to you. It doesn't happen like that anywhere. You'll get honor also. If you want money, you can get money also over here. And if you want controversy, you can get controversy also. And lastly, if you want Krishna, you'll get Krishna also. So, what I want here is important. Yes, many things have gone wrong, but that's just a part of, we are living in Kali Yuga, that's just a part of the nature of the material world. It will get reflected over here also. But my purpose is to move onward towards Krishna. So, if I keep this in mind that, yes, there will be controversy, there will be this, there will be that, but what is my purpose? I have come here for moving towards Krishna, and if I really want, I can move towards Krishna. There is abundant. If I want to practice Krishna Bhakti, there is abundant facility for practicing Krishna Bhakti. So that way, it all comes to our purpose. If we forget our purpose, then we can get caught in Maya while being in the Krishna consciousness movement also. And there can be many different forms of Maya that can come. But if our purpose is to move towards Krishna, then Krishna will guide us, Srila Prabhupada will guide us, and they will give us the right association by which our bhakti can grow. So if you just keep this in mind, I have come here to serve Srila Prabhupada, serve Krishna, to grow in my bhakti, then a lot of unnecessary issues we will be able to avoid and we will be able to move onwards in our spiritual life. So I'll summarize. I talked about two things in this talk. First is that, you know, even the virtues of the virtuous are criticized by critics. So we all have certain strength, and based on that we may feel inspired to serve Krishna. But other people may not have the definition of success, and so they may criticize us for it. So if we are not to become discouraged, discouragement is also a temptation, and we have to resist that temptation. There are two ways. One is, we change our definition of success and do that which the circle of devotees around us wants us to do. Then we'll be valued, we'll be appreciated. Or we find that circle of that association where whatever definition of success we have, that is appreciated. And in that way, staying encouraged and moving onwards is our responsibility. And second is, I discussed about functioning within an institution. The institution has a purpose. And if to the extent that purpose is forgotten, it can become a big problem. But to the extent we remember the purpose, we will get the facility to move onwards. And just like a small drop of water, the river is a big blessing for it to move towards Krishna. Or similarly, for an association of devotees is a big blessing. But it is not that just by being in the association we will get there. It's like sometimes it may get dammed, then the water drop has to find out a way to move onwards. So sometimes certain circumstances may dam our bhakti. Then we have to find out some way to move onwards. It's not automatic. It is actually our responsibility. It's like if I have some stock, it is not that it is automatically going to grow by putting a stock exchange. I have to be intelligent enough to invest properly. So our bhakti investment also, we have to take the responsibility to help it grow. Or, instead in a hospital, there may be different diseases. And we have come here to become cured. So if we keep our desire clear, okay, my desire is not for other things, my desire is for Krishna, then surely we will get Krishna in the association of devotees. In the moment that Srila Prabhupada has founded for us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, it is far better to discharge one's own duties, however imperfectly, than someone else's, even perfectly. For to follow another's path is dangerous. So I've often wondered, you know, what is my duty in this age? It's not so clear. I believe Prabhupada in the Pervert talks about, well, there, like, say, traditional. If you're born into a Brahmana family, you would be a Brahmana. But he's telling Arjuna, you're a Kshatriya. Don't try to artificially be a Brahmana. How you were expressing and was appreciating so much. If you, if someone's drawn to a particular service, or they need to find the encouragement. But how do we actually know which is our service, and which is our best way to function?
So how do we know which is our service, which is the best way we can contribute? Yes, actually, for different devotees, it may take different time durations to find that out. Some of us may have some outstanding talent in some field. And then that becomes, okay, this is the field which I have been gifted. I'll use this field to serve Krishna. But in some cases, we may have talents in many fields, or we may not have obvious talent in any field. Both ways, we may feel, okay, what should I do? So then we just keep doing whatever services come to us by Krishna's arrangement, yadrucha, what our devotees tell us to do. And while doing those services, we keep observing. We keep observing ourselves. This is a service I can do well. This is a service, I find it difficult. This service, I really delight in this service. So basically, this whole point of responsibility, and I said that our spiritual advancement is our responsibility. So what that means is, suppose, say if we are working in a company. Now we are doing the job which we are told to do. But at the same time, we are also looking, okay, how can I grow? Yeah, this job, this pays well also, and this has, it requires certain skills which I have. This job, I can't do this, it's too much for me. So, in the material world, we are very ambitious and we are very resourceful to find out how we can grow. We don't think that because I got this job, I'll just do this job and I'll get promotion and I'll move on. Yes, that can also happen, but most people are resourceful. Maybe I'll go from this job to this job, I'll do this, I'll do that. So it's not that as devotees we have to jump from service to service, but that principle, a devotee's mood is that how can I become a more and more resourceful servant for Srila Prabhupada and for Krishna. I'm doing this service right now, but how can I become a more and more resourceful servant? That means that, okay, this is service which I can do. So as we are doing services, we keep observing. And that initiative, not the ambitiousness in the mundane sense that I want to become famous, I want to become powerful, but it's just that, if I can do more and more services for Krishna, then Krishna has an instrument which is resourceful. Krishna can do more for his mission through me. So that taking that initiative, having that attitude that I have to find out how I can grow in my spiritual life. I have to find out which service I can do. If we have that attitude, we'll ourselves observe. Yeah, these are things which I can do. And then gradually, we will gravitate toward that service. So for even if it doesn't happen automatically for us, even if it is not very obvious which service we should be doing, but if you just keep observing over the years, we will find out that, okay, this is a service which I am comfortable doing. Yesterday I was talking about guna karma vibhagasya. So guna and karma means, one way, something which we have qualities for, that means we are comfortable doing it. And something, karma means that we are competent at doing that. So if you find that there is some service which you are comfortable and you are competent, then we can say that this is what I should be doing. So the whole essence of Varnashram is not dividing people into four castes, four Varna. The essence is engaging people according to the way they are naturally endowed. So rigid division of society is not practical now. But the principle of engaging people according to their natural endowments, that is something which we can ourselves take the initiative to find out and engage ourselves accordingly. Does it answer your question? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for nice explanations. In relation to the same question, sometimes we have been instructed or we heard that we also have to do some services which are challenging for ourselves, for our purification, so that we don't feel pride or we feel humiliated, humble.
Yeah.
And also have heard from a very senior sannyasi, he tries to be in a challenging situation most of the time so that he will feel dependency of Krishna.
Yeah.
So how do we understand
this? Correct. So, isn't it that we should take up challenging services so that we feel humble and we feel dependent on Krishna? Yes, that's true, definitely. But then there are challenges which stimulate us and there are challenges that agitate us. So okay, yesterday I spoke about how varanashram means that people are allocated the problems that they like to face. So in the same concept of challenging, where they talk about three zones, the comfort zone, there's a stretch zone, and there's a panic zone. So for example, if I can lift 10 kg weight, then every day I just keep lifting 5 kg weight. My muscles will never grow. So if I can lift 10 kg, I'm lifting 5 kg, that is I'm in the comfort zone. If I can lift 10 kg and I'm lifting 10.5 or 11, that is I'm in the stretch zone. But if I can lift 10 kg and I start lifting 25 kg, that's panic zone. So basically, we definitely need challenges for growing. But we also have to take challenges that actually help us to grow. That just don't crush us by how difficult they are. So, as a matter of surrender, if the situation demands, if our authorities tell us, we can do services which are necessary at a particular time. But along with that, we also take the responsibility of finding out, how can I engage myself? See, the point which I was making yesterday is that there is the aspect of following instructions and surrendering, which is very important. But the practical reality of the movement is that it's not that we will always be having an authority with us, constantly telling us, don't do this, don't do this. We will have to become self-motivated to be able to sustain a service. And we cannot be self-motivated in sustaining a service unless we have some inspiration for doing this. So there are challenges which, so if we are good at something, even within that, to do something good, there are challenges. Let's say somebody is a very good singer. Now, they like to sing, but even then when they want to improve their singing, they have to spend hours practicing. Say, I like to write. So, but writing, it is said that the more you write, the more difficult writing becomes. Why? Because the more you write, the more you realize how many faults are there in your writing. And then correcting all of it takes time. So, in whatever service we are doing, whatever service we are gifted to do or whatever we are inspired to do, even within that there can be challenges. And we can grow within that also. So definitely, we need challenges. But we need challenges that actually help us to grow. And yes, we need to be humble, we need to be dependent on Krishna. So sometimes doing something which we are not good at, that may help us realize, hey, I am not the doer, I can't do so much. So that may help us to become humble. And that we can do it that way. But that will not be a service which we can sustain lifelong. And the dependence on Krishna comes when we take up a challenge within something which we are inspired to do and we feel, how can I do it, Krishna, please help me. So the two are not necessarily contradictory. They can be complementary, doing something which we are inspired to do, and within that, stretching ourselves so that we feel the need for Krishna. Does that answer your question? Yes. Any other questions?
As you are helping us to systemize and customize the application of spiritual insight and devotional principles, you say we should not be so much in expectation, rather we should be more increasing in contribution. But that in relation to the relationship with the other devotees and growing in the society. But what about Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami Pada giving all these stages that you must see, you must expect that you are in that position, and you're going there If you are not going there, there must be something wrong with you and you must expect this. The whole stage is sort that way.
Yeah. So what about, we said that we should not expect, we should contribute. But then there are the stages of bhakti which we are meant to go through. So shouldn't we expect to grow over there? Actually, right now, our focus is on talking about externals, you know, relationship with others, relationship with institution. Within that, I was talking about that we should focus more on contribution than on expectation. And apart from that also, in the inner growth, certainly there is this whole concept of lalsamai, you know, what, aspiring for the advanced stages of bhakti, for hankering for Krishna. At the same time, there's also the principle that, you know, there's a devotee's ashavadha, that devotee keep serving Krishna even if Krishna himself says, you know, there's no hope for him. So the devotee will keep serving Krishna. So what does that mean? that's what ashavadha is talked about in the Samasutta. Devotee has hope against hope, Prabhupada. And that means that certainly we want the advanced stages of devotion. At the same time, we from our side should be ready for practicing bhakti, always, no matter what happens. I think in the fourth canto, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that a devotee desires the darshan of Krishna, but a devotee doesn't demand the darshan of Krishna. So if you don't desire, then where is our bhakti? But if you demand, then again, where is our bhakti? Demand means we are thinking that, oh, Krishna is my order supplier. It's not like that. So we desire. But then, after desiring, we depend on Krishna. Then Krishna fulfills that desire. So aspiring is definitely required. But so, in a sense, we could say that aspiration is more from our side. Expectation is from someone else's side. So we should always have the aspiration to grow, to attain advanced stages. But the expectation, now I have done so much, why is this not happening? I have chanted so much, why am I, tears not coming from my eyes? That sort of expectation is something which may again make our bhakti conditional and which may limit us if the expectation is not fulfilled. So we can have anticipation, but the anticipation doesn't become a demand. We have a desire, but we, along with the desire, keep practicing bhakti. Whenever Krishna wants, he will bestow the advanced stages of devotion. Thank you. Is there any question there? Yes, you must. Stop with this. So depending on how long the question may take, either I'll answer now or I'll answer after the next question.
Seeking the association of those that share a vision of success that we have. Sometimes devotees are in situations where they're dealing with the ISKCON hierarchy and there's a conflict in terms of that vision for success. And so it's not always so easy to find another situation because some people got the power. So what to do in that type of situation? Is there an internal adjustment that can be made so that we don't get discouraged?
Yeah. So if we have particular inspiration to do service and then the leadership is not very supportive of that, then what do we do? See, basically, when we are working in an institution, there are broadly three ways in which you can work. One is that the authority or the ruling power, they want something to be done, and we do that. That means we basically make their vision our vision. Then, if we do that, then practically all the facility, the power, the resources of the institution, which are there with those authorities, they come to help us. That is one way to work. The other way to work is that we have our own vision. This is what I feel inspired. Then, if we have our own vision for doing things, then we will have to create the facilities. We will have to create the resources. Now, that is also through the devotee community only various ways we'll create. But in general, when we are working in an institution, we will not get two things together. That is, freedom and facility. Either we will get facility or we will get freedom. Facility means that the institution wants us to do some service and we do that service, we get all the facilities. But if you want the freedom to do something according to our vision, we can't expect the institution to provide the facility. We may have to create the facilities. So now, it's not that one is right and other is wrong. We have a vision, we have practiced rugby for many years, and we may feel inspired to do service in a particular way. But the institution leaders, whatever reason they have authority now, and they have a particular vision of how things are to be done. So they will use the facilities which are with them for fulfilling that vision. So if something is my vision to do things, then I have to create the facility. If I want the freedom to implement my vision for doing things, then I cannot expect others to provide me the facility. If others provide, that's wonderful. But it is that I have to create the facility. So generally speaking, so one extreme is we just give up our freedom and then we get the facility. Because we're just implementing the vision of some other information leader. Otherwise, if we want the freedom, then we have to create the facility. And in many cases, most devotees work somewhere in between the two. Now, we have some area where we have our own freedom and we create our own facilities. And there's some area where we work with the institution, within the institution, and then we use the institution's facilities. So both ways, so this is the three ways. Is facility but no freedom. There is freedom but no facility. And there are some places where there is both freedom and facility. But in general, we have to know that if it's my vision of what is different, then I should not expect too much facilities from the institution. Because different people actually have different visions. So, over a period of time, if we persevere in our vision, we share our vision with others, then Krishna will send other devotees also who share that vision. And they will, through that, the resources will come together. And gradually, that vision can also be manifested in the service of Krishna. But in general, it is a very rare situation where we will get freedom and facility together. It's good to start that if I want to implement my vision, to assume that I may not get many facilities. Then we will not be frustrated by the... We will not have frustrated expectations. If we get facilities, that will be like an additional boon for us. We see that in the case of Prabhupada also. When he came to America, he wanted to preach. And his godbrothers, you know, for them to get some money from Padmapat Singhania transferred to America, it was no big deal for the rich. Some of them had good contacts. And they just had to go and meet and sign a few letters, make a few petitions. But they didn't do it for him. Padmapat Singhania was a wealthy donor who wanted to give money to Srila Prabhupada so that Prabhupada could build a temple in America. But the Indian government was not sanctioning the money. So Prabhupada wrote to his godfathers to do that. They didn't do it. Because, you know, they felt this is not my vision. This is Bhakti Ramaswamy's vision. Now Prabhupada tried to make them see this is not my vision. This is Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's vision. And I'm trying to implement his vision. But somehow they couldn't see it. So we see that Prabhupada, he, even though he was implementing Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's vision, he did not get any of the facilities that Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur only had created, but which were with other devotees. Now, we are not saying that the Gaudiya Mutha devotees were bad or anything. It's just that they had a different vision of things. So, if Srila Prabhupada was such a great Mahabhagavat, even he did not get facilities when he had to implement a particular vision, then because others had a different vision, then what to speak of us? So it's difficult to implement our own vision and start off without facilities. But we see that those devotees who have a particular vision, they persevere. Krishna does send facilities. It takes time, but Krishna sends facilities. Wherever there is a desire to serve him, that if Krishna does yatra yogeshwara, Krishna yatra paratho dhanurdhara. Like Arjuna has raised his bow, Krishna is there. And eventually, Shri Rajayo Bhutir, all that will come. But it may take time to come. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.